Welcome to Life in Our Time. The goal of this program is to present first-person accounts from people at the very center of the events shaping our culture today. There's a new and expanding movement that is emerging on the north shore of our Mediterranean world. It's a new religion called Christianity. It originated in Palestine, where an obscure Galilean preacher named Jesus proclaimed that he was the Christ, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. Jesus was soon executed for his heretical view, and the matter seemed closed. But in more recent times, this Jesus movement has moved out into the wider world. The central figure in the expansion of this movement is a controversial man named Paul. Paul, who used to go by the name Saul, was once a militant Jew vigorously opposed to this Jesus group. However, somehow something dramatic happened in his life, and he is now perhaps the most famous Christian in our generation. Ordinarily, we would try to interview this man, Paul, himself. But he is an elusive figure who is not easy to track down. Consequently, as an alternative, we have set up a series of interviews with people who have had close personal associations with Paul and his new religious group. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and I am your host on Life in Our Times, a program produced by the First Century News Network. Our guests today for this program on Paul and Christianity are a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. We understand that they were once business partners with Paul in the city of Corinth for almost 2 years, and that they share the faith which Paul proclaims. Though both Priscilla and Aquila are present together for this interview, we understand that Aquila, the husband, will do most of the talking. Our basic questions to which we asked them to respond were, how did you come to be business partners with such a controversial person? What sort of person was he to work with? How did he manage to mix business and preaching about Jesus? And is it true that you share Paul's commitment to this man, Jesus? We take you now to Ephesus, where this couple now reside. Aquila, please tell us about Paul, as you and Priscilla have come to know him.
Hello. My name is Aquila. I want to introduce my wife Priscilla to you. I sometimes call her Prisca because that's the short form of her name. And when we're out in public, I always call her Priscilla, of course, but when we're just with friends, I often address her as Prisca. So if I slip into that mode of referring to her this morning, don't be confused. Priscilla and I lived in Rome for a time. Actually, I was born in Pontus in Bithynia, near the Black Sea. And anyway, we've traveled quite a lot. And we lived in Rome, and we were happy to be there, but then the Emperor Claudius ordered the Jews to leave Rome, and we're Jews. So we made our way here to Corinth. Now our trade is tent making. Well, actually, leather work. And we got started here, and things were going quite well here in Corinth. And then we met a man who had just arrived in Corinth. We'd heard his name before, but we didn't know too much about him. His name is Paul, and he too is a Jew. Actually, a very strict, observing Jew, a Pharisee. And anyway, when we met him, we discovered something that was very interesting to us, of course. What we discovered was that Paul also was skilled in tent making. Now, if you think about that, it makes perfect sense. After all, Paul is a native of Tarsus. And Tarsus is located in the region of Cilicia. And if you take what Cilicia literally means, it means goat hair. It's an area that has a reputation for leather work. And Paul, along with his religious instruction, obviously was introduced to the trade of tent making. And when we met him and he was going to be here in Corinth for a time, we were kind of shorthanded and thought that it would be a great thing for him to throw in his lot with us. We could use his help. Anyway, we were also interested in his faith because he had the reputation, you see, of being not just a Jew, but one who believed that the Messiah had come. And we were quite eager to hear more about that. Anyway, he came and he was very congenial, worked with us, and he went with us to the synagogue every Sabbath, and he's a real teacher, you know. As soon as he arrived in the synagogue, he had a group around him and he was talking to them. And he was telling them, well, starting from the scriptures about the promised Messiah. And then he began to explain how this had now been fulfilled. And he answered their questions, you know, one after another. And people gave him their attention because he was just a very, very skillful presenter of what he believed. And so he worked with us, the tent-making business. Every day, every Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as we did. And we were not only impressed by his teaching, we were also impressed by what he had to say, and found him actually very, very persuasive. And then a little while after he came to Corinth, two young men arrived named Silas and Timothy. And they knew Paul. They'd worked with him. I guess they were kind of apprentices. I'm not sure what you call them. I mean, Paul talked a lot about Christ's instruction to go into all the world and preach the gospel, share the good news. And Silas and Timothy were young men who were working with him, who shared that faith and learning from Paul, listening to the way that he taught, the things he had to say. Anyway, this was going on, and when Silas and Timothy arrived, we were kind of disappointed because Paul began to spend more time teaching than he did tent making. But I guess that was okay. And he was having an impact. Now, in the synagogue, there were both Jews and Greeks. And Paul started to acquire quite a following of people who were persuaded about what he was saying. Isn't that true, Priscilla? They started to really listen. And not only ask questions that might have been challenging, but ask questions that took them further in what he was saying about the Messiah. And that was not without repercussions. because some people in the synagogue objected. Because they were concerned that Paul was just having way too much influence. And they began to cause him trouble, object to what he was doing. And finally, Paul just kind of got frustrated by it all and said, "All right, if you don't want me here, I'll leave." And he left. And a bunch of people kind of left with him. Now, what really, really created problems? Don't you think, Priscilla, that this was it? When he left the synagogue, when Paul left the synagogue, what happened was that one of the people who went with him was a man named Titius Justus. And he happened to live right next door to the synagogue. And Titius Justus said, "Come on to my place, and you can teach there." Well, you can imagine how that went over. Leaves the synagogue, sets up business right next door. And, there was more. Because a man named Crispus, who had been the ruler in the synagogue, joined Paul's group. You can see where this is going. Not great happiness in the synagogue in Corinth. At least not on the part of those who were still in it. Because a good portion had already made their way next door with Paul. And this continued. And the numbers grew with Paul. And the tension in the community, the religious community, the Jewish community in Corinth heightened. And the result was that, Paul struggled to know whether he should stay or leave. And then Paul had a vision one night, he told us. Remember that? He told us about that vision he had, that God told him he should stay here in Corinth because God had more things for him to accomplish here. And the result was, when it was all said and done, that Paul stayed with us in Corinth for almost 2 years. And he worked with Prisca and I in the shop, tent making, but mostly in the latter part of that time, he spent his time talking to people. Because when he moved out of the synagogue, he started to spend more time talking to Gentiles. And just as he'd found a good reception to what he had to say in the synagogue to Jews, so with the Gentiles also. And the numbers grew. Well, you can imagine, after a time, the Jews who were still back in the synagogue were just steaming about this. And they eventually hatched a plan that they would bring a case against Paul. And they planned it well. They brought a charge against Paul before Gallio, who was the Roman proconsul of the province of Achaia. An important man in Roman affairs. Achaia is a big province. And so they made this charge against Paul before Gallio. But, the funny thing was that Gallio didn't want to have anything to do with it. When they tried to make their case, Gallio, in fact, told them to go away. He didn't want to hear it. Because, what they were accusing Paul of, he said, Gallio said, was just a matter of your own religion. I'm not going to rule on that. So, case dismissed. And, that didn't make them very happy either. Anyway, after a time, Paul decided that he was going to leave Corinth. He wanted to make a trip to Syria and ultimately to Jerusalem, and he began to talk to us about it because, you know, he still came into our tent-making place often. He was, and then whenever he'd come in, you know, he'd sit down and immediately pick up something to work on while we talked. And he was just that kind of person. And he began to talk to us about his plans to go to Syria and Jerusalem. And he persuaded us that, you know, we should move from Corinth also. He suggested that when he left for Syria, that we could go with him. And he suggested that we go to Ephesus because he said there was a real need for the word to be shared in Ephesus. And I have to say, tell you here, we're not like Paul. I mean, Paul's a teacher. He knows how to handle people's questions. We kind of always feel a little flustered and go home and think them over before we can come up with a response. And our comfort level is not speaking to people in public. Our comfort level is our home. We like to have friends in, and we talk about all sorts of things, but we also talk about faith and what we believe. And Paul started to make the case with us that there was a tremendous place, you know, for, and he said Priscilla was so good at this, you know, just providing hospitality to people. And that was a wonderful way to begin sharing the good news with them. And so we thought it over, and business was good in Corinth for tent makers, but business is good for tent makers pretty well anywhere. So maybe going to Ephesus wasn't such a bad idea. And the atmosphere in Corinth was a little hostile, and we were linked right into it because everybody knew that Paul had worked with us and was friends with us. So anyway, when it came time for Paul to leave, we set sail with him from Corinth, and we stayed on the ship across the Aegean, and when we got to Ephesus, we left Paul, and he went on the rest of his journey, and we set up shop in Ephesus. And we tried to follow what Paul suggested. You know, our emphasis was not on trying to teach in public. Our emphasis was on just talking with people. You know, when you run a business, people come in. And you got to talk about something. You only talk about tents for so long. And our home was always open to people who wanted friendship. And in Ephesus, we had some interesting experiences because actually there was, when we got to Ephesus, there was a gathering of believers. By believers, I now mean followers of Jesus the Messiah. And there was a man arrived in Ephesus whose name was Apollos. And he had, he was kind of like Paul. Very, very able speaker. very well versed in the scriptures, and we listen to him. But you know, as we listened to Apollos, we realized there were some things that Apollos hadn't heard about Jesus, that Paul knew and had told us. Well, we aren't the kind of personality that when Apollos was teaching, we went and said, "Hey, you know, you're missing something." No, what we did was we invited Apollos to our home. And we sat down and we talked with him. And we shared some of the things that Paul had shared with us. And these were new things about the Messiah that Apollos hadn't heard before. And he was still, of course, persuaded about Jesus being the Messiah, but these were details, further understanding of this faith that Jesus had created in his teaching. And we just shared, told him to think it over. And it came with the authority of Paul. And that was pretty much good enough for them, for him. He knew about Paul. So here we are, 10 makers in Ephesus, quietly being part of what is now also a growing Christian community here in Ephesus. My, the word is spreading. Priscilla, it's been wonderful for us to have had this association with Paul. Don't you think? Yes, he's... Well, our lives have been transformed as a consequence, because it was from Paul that we learned about the Messiah. And we had the privilege of knowing him and talking with him and learning from him and being trusted by him and encouraged by him. This has been a wonderful experience for us. And we try and stay in touch with Paul, but Paul is a move around the world kind of guy. And yet we know some of the people who know him, and so we get word from time to time of where he is and what he's doing. It's been our great privilege to know and to share the faith with Paul, the apostle. Aquila, thank you for that report on the association that you and your wife Priscilla had with Paul in Corinth, and thank you for that description of Paul's religious activities in Corinth. As we heard in a report we received last week from someone in Thessalonica, it seems to be Paul's strategy when he arrives somewhere to go first to the local synagogue to present his views about Jesus. However, in Corinth, when he was no longer welcome in the synagogue, he actually set up a rival worship place. Your report also confirms that Paul's presence does seem to create turmoil. His longer stay in Corinth resulted in the establishment of a new Christian community, of which you and Priscilla are a part, with its own place of worship. Also, it is interesting that you mentioned meeting a man named Apollos when you moved to Ephesus. Apollos is actually scheduled to be our guest on the next episode
in this series on Paul and Christianity. This is the First Century News Network, and you have been listening to Life in Our Times. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and we hope that you join us again next week here on Life in Our Times.